Jury selection continues for the third week in the Andrea Yates trial in Houston. Yates admitted drowning her five children in the bathtub of her home last June. She's charged with capital murder. Yates has pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. It's a difficult defense in Texas and across the country, NPR's Kathy Lohr reports.
The Harris County District Attorney knew that mental illness was being raised in the Andrea Yates case. Still, Chuck Rosenthal announced immediately that he would seek the death penalty. On a nationally televised program, Rosenthal said, quote, "I want to hold her accountable for the death of those children. That's my job." That public statement and the difficulty of mounting an insanity defense troubles the Yates family. Some relatives are watching jury selection as Andrea sits solemnly in the courtroom each day.
There's not allowed to be communication, and that's very difficult. We all really feel for her right now, and it's very hard to see her and not really be able to speak and not be able to hug her.
Ferry Caroland is a Presbyterian minister from Savannah, Georgia. Caroland is the aunt of Andrea's husband, Russell Yates. Russell is under a gag order and could not talk about the case. Caroland says no one has figured out what happened that day last June when Andrea drowned each of her five children in the bathtub. The only thing the family knows for sure is that Andrea had been diagnosed with severe postpartum depression with psychosis, a diagnosis that few understand.
Anytime there's mental illness, I think there's so much more involved in the picture than any of us know and that any of us can get to. And the legal system is the worst in the world for dealing with mental illness. They want to just kind of throw it out and just pretend it's not there. And to not deal with it realistically and look at all the factors involved with that doesn't make sense to me.
Family members fear Andrea Yates may not get a fair trial. That's because of the intense publicity, the emotional nature of the case, and because of Texas law. Sandra Guerra Thompson is the Associate Dean of the University of Houston Law Center.
It is a difficult proposition to put on an insanity defense. It's a real gamble because it involves typically admitting all of the acts that were committed and then simply trying to convince a jury that the person is so out of touch with reality that they didn't know the difference between right and wrong. And that's a very hard standard to meet.
Part of the difficulty with the insanity defense is that each state has its own variation of the law. Four states do not allow an insanity defense at all. David Rosemarin is a forensic psychiatrist who has evaluated dozens of insanity cases. He says the verdict in the John Hinckley case back in the 1980s was a defining historical moment for this type of defense.
There was great national upset after the whole country witnessed President Reagan being shot by John Hinckley, and John Hinckley was found not guilty by reason of insanity. And in response to that, many legislatures, state legislatures, tightened up the standards, made them stricter.
There are two major insanity defenses. One, called the McNaughton standard, comes from Old English law. It is the stricter standard. It says that the crime had to flow from a mental illness and that at the time of the crime, the defendant did not know the nature and quality of the act or did not know that the act was wrong. Several states have passed this exact standard of proof. About 30 others, including Texas, adopted this standard with variations. Another 10 states have adopted the other standard under the Model Penal Code. It is a lower standard that says the defendant did not appreciate that the act was wrong or that the accused lacked substantial capacity to conform their behavior to the law. Rosemarin says jurors may have a hard time sorting this out.
It's not uncommon to see mentally ill people who appear to have 10 layers of clothing on a hot day or to be talking to themselves and walking around and possibly gesturing in odd fashions. And those people appear plainly and obviously mentally ill to a passerby. But the more difficult task is to understand other kinds of mental illness.
In trying to assess insanity in the Yates case, there will be thousands of pages of evidence, including her history before and after the crime. Yates has a 2-year record of mental illness. She tried to commit suicide twice. Yates was hospitalized for postpartum depression with psychosis and had been taking antipsychotic drugs. The hospital and doctor's records will be key, as will be the testimony of personal witnesses, including Yates' husband, Russell, who appeared nervous and anxious, moving his feet back and forth during the first few days of jury selection. One of the eeriest pieces of evidence is the call Andrea made to 911 on June 20th.
An ambulance? No, I need a police officer. Yes, send an ambulance.
Are you there alone?
Yes.
Hey, well, why do you need the police, ma'am?
I just need them to come.
Are you sure you're alone?
No, my sister's there.
There are different theories on what the 911 call will mean to a jury. Some say Yates reacted as anyone would. Others, including Sandra Thompson of the Houston Law Center, believe the call is one of the major hurdles Yates will face.
You know, the fact that she called the police immediately indicates that she understood this was a criminal matter. And so if she had called a laundromat instead and said, I just washed my clothes in the bathtub, you know, then that would support an insanity defense, obviously. But she knew that these were her kids and that she had killed him.
But working for Yates, according to legal experts, is the fact that the 37-year-old is not a typical insanity defendant. She has no prior criminal record. Unlike other mothers who have killed their children, including Susan Smith, who drowned her children in a lake, Yates did not lie about what happened or try to blame anyone else. Attorneys, psychiatrists, and legal analysts all say that the most important part of the trial is taking place right now, as a jury panel is being selected. Former Harris County prosecutor Jim Mount has seen the dilemma involving juries from both sides.
One of the things that sometimes happens in a case like this is that jurors tend to vote with their heart instead of their head. So you can have people on the jury who just feel like this lady has got to be crazy because no one who is sane would ever have done something like this. And that's a bias that the state may never be able to overcome. Then on the other hand, you can have jurors who walk into this and say, look, this is such a horrible thing. I can't forgive this. I don't care if it appears as though this lady was out of her mind. She's got to be held responsible for what she did.
Although this case is unique, the odds are against Andrea Yates. Psychiatrists say there is a tendency to mistrust the mental health industry and to question whether a person who commits this type of crime would get the proper treatment. According to one national study, the insanity defense is rarely successful. It is raised in just 1% of felony cases and is successful in only 1/4 of those cases. Kathy Lohr, NPR News.